This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
Michael Batchelard is a very, very well-known and experienced journalist with Fairfax and particularly with The Age. And Michael has written a piece with Nick McKenzie this morning, again, on bullying at the Australian Olympic Committee, and their former chief executive, Fiona De Jong, has spoken with Michael. Michael, good morning.
G'day.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Look, we've been following this story and talking about it for a couple of weeks. I've got to say, I'm actually totally appalled at what's some of the reports that are coming about what's going on at the AOC. Now, you've written a piece for Today's Age with a colleague, Nick McKenzie, and it's about bullying at the Australian Olympic Committee, and particularly what Fiona De Jong has to say is pretty disturbing. Tell us about how this, you know, your discussion with her and what you've got out of that and what the readers in The Age can see about that.
Look, it's really interesting here. And what I think we've got, you know, with the AOC is an organisation that's been led by the same guy 27 years. He surrounded himself by people who are very loyal to him. You know, certain culture has developed in that organisation. We're reading in some places about some of the financial dealings that have been going on. In The Age today, you can read about some of the way that the personnel have been treated there. And Fiona De Jong, I think, has very bravely come out and spoken about this. It's very rare, actually, as a journalist, that you get somebody to talk, frankly, about an incident like bullying in the workplace. People seem to kind of just want to shy away from it. But she's come out and spoke very frankly about the way the media director at the AOC, a guy called Mike Tancred, dealt with her after she resigned from the organisation in October last year. She resigned for various reasons, but part of it was this culture, and part of the fact that she didn't see that there was any hope that under John Coates that there would be cultural change, or that you know, she would get the advancement that I think many people expected her to be getting, because he really wanted to stay on and keep things going the way they were. And in the process of all that, she alleges that Mike Tancred, the media director, also, you know, key co-loyalist, had made threatening comments to her, threatened to bring her family into it. Now, she just didn't want to go into the details of that, which I understand. But really what she's saying is that over many years, this kind of culture was allowed to persist and that John Coates really did nothing about it. She's one of, you know, a number of people who've made complaints about bullying, and there really has been nothing done about it over 12, 13 years.
So she made, you know, reading your article, Michael, and it says that as well as she sent the confidential complaint to John Coates, then she says that Mike Tancred rang her and he said to her, "Fiona, withdraw the complaint or I'll bury you." I mean,
yeah, that's right.
What an extraordinary thing to say. And
pretty
then,
bullish behaviour.
And, you know, that she formally complained to John Coates about her treatment, also to the chief financial officer. For 4 months, she heard nothing. And when John Coates, through his lawyers, has said that her, you know, he didn't want to speak of the complaint because it was unfair and prejudicial to those involved for its details, and he didn't want the outcome to be subject of speculation, it couldn't be resolved now because the AOC election will affect the membership of the AOC executive. I mean,
that's right.
So when do you investigate this, Mr. Coates? You know, when do you actually investigate this? When do you take this seriously? This is not an isolated incident. You guys at Fairfax and some of your colleagues at News have been writing about this. This bullying. I mean, it's... I'm appalled. I actually don't... You know... sorry, go.
Well, I was going to say that, one of the, a couple of the people that we spoke to, and there were quite a number that we spoke to on and off the record, but a number of them made the point that when you're an Olympic athlete under the auspices of the AOC, if you stay out till 6 a.m. from the Olympic Village, you know, having the time of life, or do something that breaches the very strict rules and protocols of representing your country, that you you know, you're sent home in disgrace, forced to apologise, and so on. But if you are working for the AOC, you can bully people, allegedly. You can not be punished for it. You can then, if somebody, a very senior and credible person like Fiona de Jong, makes a complaint of bullying, then that's not dealt with 4 months under the excuse that, oh, the executive might change and they might have to do it. We don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
So it's absolute transparent rubbish. You know, this is a key, or should be a key question about management of an organisation that that is extremely significant in Australian sport. And yet, these things kept under wraps. I mean, when I asked questions of John Coates, I didn't get an answer from John Coates. I got put questions by his lawyer. Huh. And that many people are intimidated and afraid of talking about these at the AOC because John Coates has successfully taken people to trial for defamation and won on significant damages in the past, including Alan Jones, it might be said, ironically, because Jones accused him of bullying.
Yes. he did, sources here say, you know, about this complaint, that he, about another complaint, that he criticised the woman in question about an unrelated issue. But he ordered her to apologise for wasting his time. I mean, who the hell does this old tool think he is? I mean, really?
Macca.
I probably wouldn't put it quite like that.
Okay, this mature piece of equipment.
I would say that, as I said at the beginning, you know, this is an organisation that's been run by the same clique of people for the past 27 years, and any organisation requires change because, as somebody put to me for an earlier story, you know, you propose helpful and healthy change in an organisation like that, and you're accused of trying, you're accused of saying that the way we've done things in the past is bad. That's what happens when somebody is in charge for too long. They get set in their ways. And they assume that whatever they say is right and nothing can go wrong. So I think that's the kind of organisation that we're seeing here. And people who are questioned in that kind of organisation, people who ask questions are often seen as launching attacks. Where really, they're just asking questions.
Michael, looking ahead to May 6, what do you think the outcome is going to be?
I must say I don't have any special insights into that. I think because a lot of the small sports particularly feel obliged to John Coates and the way he's on the AOC, that they would have a tendency to be loyal to him. You know, we'll say the numbers are shifting. It's very hard to tell because people obviously are not willing to nail their colours to the mast. Particularly some of the really robust commentary that you've had coming out of the AOC loyalists about those they see as enemies. So I think, you know, a lot of it's going to come down to what happens on the night. It's going to be very hard to count numbers before then.
Michael, on this program I heard last week Jeff Kennett saying that whatever the outcome of the vote, the government, the federal government, should step in and insist at the very least on a certain number of times someone can serve in the top role before they, you know, they have to stand down and make way for someone else. Have you heard of any willingness in the federal government to go down this path?
Look, I haven't, but we heard that the federal government is ready for change in that organisation. It's ironic that one of the things that John Coates cites as being his qualification for another 4 years is his high regard in international circles and his position on the international Olympic Committee. And that's true. There's no doubt he's served at that level late distinction over many years. But it's also true that the International Olympic Committee recognises the need for change and has term limits. So it seems obvious to me that's something that the governing bodies of Australian sport really should look at.
We can only remain hopeful, really, can't we?
And I mean, Michael, he's paid $700,000 plus a year. Okay, $2,000 a day.
Consulting fee.
This culture that's coming out, and as I said, I can't believe it. I encourage our listeners to listen, to read your articles, and to actually listen to what Jeff Kennett said on air last week about the AOC. And he made reference to some other people in sports movements like FIFA and Samaranch, that unreconstructed Franco-fascist. the hat fits, wear it. But, you know, I encourage people to read it. But I encourage those sports organisations that have a vote, that have a secret vote. Guys, you know, read this stuff. Think about it. Think about the experiences you might have had, and other people have told you. And if you, when you go to fill in that ballot paper, think long and hard about it.
And when you think about it, Macca, the fish sometimes rots from the head.
Always rots from the head.
And the importance of that is that you really want to set the right tone, the right role models, the right behaviours, the right attitudes and values. And that's where sometimes change is very important.
And this is where, and Michael and your colleague Nick and other journalists, this is why an independent media is so important. Because otherwise it wouldn't get reported, would it, Michael? It just wouldn't get covered.
Well, no, that's right. And, of course, we do operate under a restrictive set of defamation laws as well. So what we can report is very, very carefully vetted before it ever hits the press. So, but I would say in that space, just to watch out, because my colleague Mark Hawthorne is working on a piece as well, which I certainly, when he was telling me about it, I found revelatory. So there's more to come in this space from The Age.
Yes, I think you might be right there. Michael, thank you for your time. Thank you for writing this. Thank you for going so deeply into it. It is a really important issue. It's about the future of Olympic sports in this country. Very, very important. Thanks again, mate. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.